Our scripture today comes from the Gospel of Matthew in the 28th chapter, verses 16 through 20. Hear the word of the Lord. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go forth and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you to the end of the age." May God bless this reading, hearing, and understanding of this, his holy word. Amen. Pray with me. Father God, open our minds, our hearts, and our souls up today, and may the words that I say, the words that are heard, and the understanding be pleasing to you. In Christ's name, amen. So, last week we celebrated Pentecost, and we talked a little bit about, you know, that being the birthday of the church. That's when I said we got, the church got the last piece that it needed to go forth, that being the coming of the Holy Spirit. Now, usually when things happen, they go in a somewhat logical order. If you're forming a company, you know, you have to start out with what is the mission of this company? What is the purpose of this company? And then you form the company. Actually, I got that backwards for when I was thinking. Anyhow, at Pentecost is the birth of the church, but the question is, what would the mission of the church actually be? What is the church meant to do? Well, that came a little bit earlier in the biblical story of Jesus. Throughout his time on earth, Jesus tried to prepare his disciples for when he would leave them. He knew that he was going to be arrested, judged, crucified, would rise again, and then would ascend to heaven. But no matter how many times Jesus tried to get the disciples to understand that, they just didn't really understand. What is he talking about? Why? He's not going to leave. No. And then the arrest in the Garden of Gethsemane happened. Next came, after Jesus' arrest, there came a mockery of a trial with people coming forward and lying about things about Jesus to put him into a bad light. He was dragged before Herod. He was dragged before Pilate. And finally, he was sentenced to be crucified. And the disciples, they started to get a little uneasy. They remembered what Christ had said about him leaving. They didn't believe it because, you know, here's this wonderful man. I mean, they started to be uneasy. I mean, is this really happening? Was Jesus really going to be crucified and die and not be here anymore? Yes, indeed. That is exactly what happened. Now, picture yourself as one of those disciples. You know, you followed this man, Jesus, for 3 years. You have heard him speak. You have seen him heal, and all of a sudden, he's gone. What are you feeling? Probably disbelief, probably anger, hopelessness, and a lot of other negative emotions. Until finally, I believe that they came to a point in their process where they said, it's over. We aren't really ready for work and life without Jesus. I mean, what are we going to do? He's gone. You know, stick a fork in us, we're done. Which brings us to our scripture today. The disciples had heard about the empty tomb, the removal of Christ's body, and how he appeared to his followers. And a message was given to them to go to Mount Galilee. What's interesting about this passage is, you know, all the Gospels have this, have the account of Jesus and the Great Commission. But Matthew is the only one that says that it was held on top of a mountain. Now, Matthew is writing his gospel to people that understand the importance and the power of when mountains appear as it relates to when God shows up. I mean, God met Moses on Mount Horeb and told him of the special purpose that God had for him. God met Elijah on Mount Carmel, where God declared once again that God was God and God's people believed that. And then there's Jesus taking Peter, James, and John up to the Mount of Transfiguration, where they were given an epiphany. They were given a glimpse of eternity and the glory of Jesus. And they saw Moses and they saw Elijah. So whenever God shows up on some sort of mountain, something is about to happen. God meeting the disciples on Mount Galilee signified that something new, something powerful, was to be initiated. And he was there to say, it is not over yet. Now, even though the disciples were in the physical presence of the risen Jesus, even though they were worshiping him, they were glad to see him, there was still that belief that this was going to be taken away again. They had doubts. How are we going to be able to go through life and to work without Jesus being here? And then Jesus, knowing their doubts, says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now, Jesus, during his 3 years of ministry on the earth, he most certainly displayed his authority here on earth. He taught with authority. He healed with authority. He confronted the powers that be and the demons with authority. Here Jesus is saying to his frightened friends that his authority now extends not just on the earth, but he has authority over all of creation. He has authority over everything. And out of this authority, he takes and he commissions the disciples, saying, "Go forth and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything that I have commanded you." This is the mission of the church. We are to go out into the world, spread the good news of Jesus Christ, baptize people into the faith, and then, most importantly, and what I think sometimes gets lost in the shuffle, we are to teach them what it means to follow Jesus and all of the things. And lastly, Jesus then says, "And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." So now, what this meant was, instead of the disciples saying, "We can't, we really aren't ready for life and to work without Jesus," instead, the disciples could now say, "We really are ready for life and work with Him, with Jesus." Instead of Jesus not being with them anymore, He is never going to leave them again. "Take that fork out of me. I'm not done yet. I have work to do. I have a mission and I have a purpose and I have a Savior who will never leave me." Now, unfortunately, there are a lot of people in the world today that think that, well, you know, I've accepted Jesus as Savior, and you know what? That's really all that I need to do. I've done what I need to do. There are other people that think, well, you know, I've been coming to this church since I was a baby. I attend service every week, unless I'm sick or away on vacation. I've put my 10% in the collection plate, and I pray for all the people on the prayer list. I think that I'm doing what is needed. I think for them, it's over. But they're wrong. It is not over. The commission that Jesus gives to His disciples, He continues to give to those that follow Him. Jesus still has authority today over all things, both on heaven and on earth. He still tells us to go out into the world and spread the gospel and to baptize people in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, the purpose behind this is not one of increasing a church's attendance. This is not a numbers game. God's not going in, is not going to say, you know, to me, "You know, Tim, you did a really good job. You got 100 people to start coming for your church. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into your glory." God's never going to say that to any of us. All that God is going to judge us on is how well we share Jesus with as many people as possible. And to share all of the good things that come from a relationship with Christ. It is not an opportunity to sell fire insurance. I follow Christ not because I'm saved from hell, but I follow Jesus because of all of the good things that come from that relationship. We talked during Sunday school, we talked a little bit about this, a little bit about, you know, getting recognition. And a lot of times in the scripture, you know, one of the scriptures, I forget which one, talked about lending to everyone and expecting nothing in return. And rich will be your reward in heaven. You know? Is that a carrot in front of us? You know? If you do this, you know, you get into heaven. If we're doing things because we think it's going to get us into heaven, we are not right-hearted. Yes, I know that I've got this reward coming, but I don't do things because of that. I do things because I know Jesus. I know the benefit that comes from that relationship, and I want others to experience that in their lives. Jesus is still with us. Always. In the highs and the lows, in the happy times and in the tragic times, the Holy Spirit is with us constantly. And that Holy Spirit taps us on the shoulders, whispers in our ears, guides us and helps us to do what we need to do to further the kingdom of God. Even though Jesus has been crucified, buried, risen, and ascended to heaven, it's not over yet. We still have things to do. Again, in Men's Sunday School, we talked about this. We are not done until Jesus says that we are done and says, come on home. We have things to do until the moment of our death. Might not be what we've always been able to do, but we can still witness until the time of our death. So we still have stuff to do. So my friends, let's go and let's do it. Amen.